What a beautiful song, and what a great thought to approach the Word of God with, to realize the Son of God became one of us, creator of all things. I invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to begin with verses 1 through 6. I'm so thankful that you're here. I want to welcome everyone again, and welcome to all of our guests watching online. We wish you were able to be here in person, but we're glad that you're at least tuning in. And that is better than nothing. Not the same as being here, but it's certainly good for when we can't gather. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6 is going to be where we begin today. We're going to attempt to study chapter 5, about half of it this morning and half of it tonight, Lord willing. But we're going to learn about living in liberty today. We want to understand what that means from the Scriptures. If you are physically able, will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning? Galatians 5 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again, thank you for the privilege to gather around the name of Jesus, to pray together, to exalt your name in song, to open the Word of God. And I pray your Holy Spirit will move among us, that your Spirit will convict our hearts, that your Spirit will guide us into truth. Lord, help us to leave here knowing you more today and more equipped to make you known. Father, anyone hearing this message that's never been born again, I pray that your Spirit would draw them to repentance and faith, that through the preaching of the Word today, they would come to a place of repentance and faith in Jesus alone. They'll call on your name and be saved. I pray those who are saved, who've never been baptized, will take that first step of obedience as a disciple of Jesus and be baptized, and that you'll help all of us to walk with you faithfully. Please help me from nothing without you. Bless your Word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There are a couple of familiar verses here, probably to you, and some familiar phrases. And I'm so excited to get to preach this today because I think that there is a verse we're going to look at in just a second that's one of the most abused phrases from the Word of God in our area today. Now, the first thing I'd remind you of, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so here in verses 1 through 6, we see "stand fast in liberty." In other words, stay still. Amen. Stand fast means to stand your ground. Stay where you are. And it could be a military term where a sentry, a guard, a soldier, or something like that would be told, "This is your spot. You don't move. You hold your ground." And here's what happens. When you come to faith in Jesus and you abandon trying to come to God by works of the law, when you leave that alone and you come to faith in Christ and you are saved by grace, not by works, he says, stay right there. Don't move. Don't go back to the entanglement or the, you might say, the oppression or the bondage of trying to please God by living the law. So it all ties right into some of the things we talked about last Sunday, and it's really vital that you get that. You don't get saved by keeping the law. You don't stay saved by keeping the law. You come to God by His grace alone. Amen. Everybody with me? That's the only way you're ever going to be there. And he says, so stay right there. Now, we normally, sometimes we hear this verse, we think about being entangled again with the yoke of the bondage of sin. And although I believe there's a principle that applies, it's really important that we keep things in their context. Right? Because we can get into dangerous territory when we take verses out of their context and try to make application, right? So we need to recognize that. Yeah, there's some principles there, but primarily the bondage that Paul is speaking of is not the bondage of sin. He's talking about the bondage of trying to find righteousness through works. He's talking about the bondage of trying to find righteousness and justification through the works of the law. And he says, when you come free of that, stay free of that. God's given you liberty. And you have that liberty, so keep that liberty. By the grace of God in heaven above, we have been set free from the burden of the law. And if you have been, if you've ever put yourself under the burden of the law, you understand what a burden it is. I mean, listen, I know I've told you guys before, but when I was first saved, started reading my Bible on my own, like I was trying, like I started in Genesis, and I didn't understand. And so I tried to do the things the law said to do. I told you it was a terrible time. I didn't feel like I could eat bacon anymore. Right? That's terrible, isn't it? Amen. Come on, people. So we come to this place understanding that we're not bound by the law. We're not justified by the law. We're not made righteous by the law. And no one ever was. People have only ever been justified by the grace of God through faith. So we have received the promise through faith. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. I'm going to give you a lot of references this morning. So for you note takers, you can write those down and maybe look at them a little later. But Romans 8 and verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And we have been set free from the law to find righteousness. We have been set free from the curse of the law, which is death. The law brings death. The law makes us guilty before God. And the wages of sin is, and the law teaches us what sin is. And so the law brings death. But we've been set free from the requirements of the law because Christ fulfilled those requirements. And we've been set free from the curse of the law because he's given us life. Because not only, friends, did he die for your sins, but he rose again the third day. Careful. Some of you guys are going to get excited about Jesus today if you're not careful. It's dangerous, isn't it? Hey, I don't know if you know this, but it's okay for Baptists to be happy about Jesus. It'd be all right to shout for joy occasionally and not keep it all bottled up. I know you're scared to death. Somebody will cut their eyes at you. I don't know what's wrong with them, but hey, that's all right. It might not be that Daryl had 3 cups of coffee. It might be that he just is excited about Jesus today. Liberty from the bondage of the law. Look at verses 2 through 4. We see we have liberty from the sign of the law. And I don't want to get too bogged down here. I told you I'm going to give you a lot of scripture references, and I'll do that in just a second. But it's important that we understand where these things come from. Verse 2 through 4, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law." Okay? Now get this. If you just take verse 2 by itself, you're going to be really weird. Like, I don't know what this is saying. But he explains it in verse 3. If you are trusting in circumcision to make you right with God, Christ can't help you. It's of no value for you, for Jesus to have died and risen again for you, because you are trying to be justified before God because of the fact that you've been circumcised. And he says, so if that's what you're trusting in, Christ can't help you. Buddy, with me? No, you trust in Christ alone. It's not Christ plus anything else. It's Christ alone. He says, everyone that's circumcised, because you don't get to just take the sign of the law. If you take the sign of the law, then you have to keep the whole law. Amen. You are obligated to the whole thing, verse 3 says. And verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Everybody see that verse? Now, I've got a lot of friends and family that I love dearly. But I'm going to speak the truth in love right now, okay? This is one of the most abused verses in our society today, in Christianity today. I hear people say this phrase repeatedly on the regular. Fallen from grace. I've had people tell me, hey, I know the Bible says a lot about being fallen from grace. It really doesn't have a lot to say about it. It says it here. And it doesn't mean what people try to make it mean. It actually means exactly the opposite of what they want it to mean. Okay, so try to track with me here. What most people say this verse means is that you can be saved by trusting in Jesus, and then if you sin against God willfully, that you will fall from grace and you will no longer be saved. Okay, everybody with me right now? Has anyone ever heard somebody say something like that? All right. Now, that's what they say it means. But I want you to just open your Bibles and look with your own eyes, hear with your own ears, and see what the scripture actually says. He says Christ has become of no effect to you. Christ is not helping you. Christ is not saving you. Christ has made no impact. Christ has become completely ineffective if you are justified by the law. If you are seeking justification by the law, if you are saying, I'm justified because I've been circumcised and I keep the law, then you have departed from the grace of God. Does everybody understand where we're at here? So on the one hand, people want to say, well, listen, if you don't live it out, you're saved, but if you don't live it, then you're fallen from grace. That's exactly the opposite of what it says. Amen. What it says is that if you are trusting in your ability to keep the law, if you are trying to be justified by keeping the law, then you have abandoned grace. Amen. And you are trying to justify yourself rather than trust in his justification through his death and resurrection. Everybody with me? And I tell you, I'm excited to preach this because somebody in this room or somebody watching online needs to hear this. Amen. The only way you fall from grace is by trusting in your works. You can't fall from grace by your inability to keep the law. That's the whole reason you need grace in the first place. Amen. And you will fail to keep the law. And even if you don't fail to keep the law, from this moment forward, you already have failed to keep the law. Amen. So it's great news, brothers and sisters. The only way that you can fall from grace, the only way that you can depart from the grace of God, the only way that you could possibly be removed is if you aren't actually trusting in Jesus. Amen. And you are, in fact, trusting in your works. But if you will stop trusting in your works and trust in Christ alone, then you can never Amen. Depart from his grace. Amen. So how's another way we might say that? If you're saved, you're saved by faith in Christ alone, by his grace alone. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if you are saved, then you are forever saved. Isn't that good news? Goodness, can you imagine that if you if you couldn't live up to the law, you'd end up in hell? Well, if that were the case, then we would all end up in hell. But he saved us by his amazing grace. And if you're saved, you're saved forever. It's never a question about whether someone got saved and lost their salvation. It's only ever going to be a question of whether they were truly born again or not. Amen. And that is a question. And it's a vital question. Amen. And it's a question that will be evidenced by our life. And we're going to learn more about that tonight, Lord willing, if we have time to talk about the works, the fruits of the Spirit tonight. So we are free from the sign of the law. He says, circumcision doesn't help you or hurt you. Okay? Verse 6 says, for in Jesus, let me back up, sorry. Verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Amen. We through the Spirit, God bless you, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Do you have hope? Amen. What's your hope? It's a hope of righteousness. It's a hope that when I stand before God, he doesn't see my sin. He has seen the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to my account, and therefore I don't die when I stand in his presence. But I stay alive because of his grace. So my hope is righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, and the righteousness of Christ is applied to my account the same way it was applied to Abraham's account, and that is by faith. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Amen. Okay, so we tie it all together. And like I said, verse 2 seems a little confusing. If you're circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. What's the point he's trying to say is, if you're trusting in circumcision, it's not it. But when you come to Christ, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew who was circumcised on the eighth day or you're a Gentile who's never circumcised. None of that matters. All that matters is, are you trusting in Christ alone? That's it. So stand fast in the liberty. You're set free from the bondage of the law. You're set free from the sign of the law. Let me give you a little background to look at a little later. In Genesis chapter 17 is when God gave the covenant of circumcision to Abram. Circumcision was given to him as a sign of his covenant. God Almighty called Abram to walk before him and be perfect. He told Abram he would make a covenant between them to multiply Abram exceedingly, that he would be a father of many nations. He changed his name in Genesis 17 from Abram, which means high father, to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. He said he would make him exceeding fruitful, make nations and kings spring from him, make an everlasting covenant to be God to him and his descendants, and to give them the land of Canaan as a promised and everlasting possession. And the sign of the covenant were for the males to be circumcised when they were 8 days old. Later, circumcision was required before someone could partake of Passover. You can see that in Exodus chapter 12. It was required under the law as part of purification when a male child was born in Leviticus 12. And the outward sign was required by God, but listen, but it was always about the heart. It was always about the heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. Will you look at that with me? Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 22. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Does that sound familiar to you? First and great commandment. Verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him thou shalt serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that he hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. I wanted you to get the whole thing, because we get this idea and we look at it under the law. We're like, it's all about those signs. It's all about the sacrifice. It's all about the ceremony. It's all about circumcision. It's all about these physical outward signs. But it never was. It was always about the heart. It was always about the heart, and it always will be. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6 says, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and thy heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And life comes by faith, and it brings us to a place of love. That was an outward sign, and we are free from those outward signs by faith in Christ Jesus. All right, back to our text, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to move on. And we're going to pick up at verse 7. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 6, we see that we should stay in liberty, stand fast in liberty. Verses 7 through 12, we're going to see that we should stay on guard against heresy. Stay on guard against heresy. Verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now remember, the whole reason that the apostle had written this letter to the churches of Galatia is because of false teachers who had come in. And they taught the people that they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. We read about that back in Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So this is the teaching that was going on that Paul was fighting against. And he said, I wish that those who are troubling you would be cut off. And he said, I don't care who they are. If they're preaching that you need to be circumcised to be saved, I pray God will cut them off. Amen. Take them away from this world that they don't lead anyone else astray. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, I know we live in a very sensitive society here in America today, and you're supposed to be careful about what you say. Anybody else get in trouble for the things they say? People get upset about things you say. Paul, listen, I think there are some things we can try to be careful and be sensitive about. That's fine, but not this. Why? Why is it such a big deal? Who cares if they get circumcised or not? Paul said it doesn't matter. It does matter if they trust in their circumcision instead of Christ alone. Amen. It matters if they're trusting in their works to justify them and they're not trusting in Christ alone. That matters. Why? Because salvation is by faith in Jesus. Amen. And if you're trusting in yourself, friend, listen, if you're trusting in yourself, you cannot be saved. Right. You will perish. So please abandon your own good works and trust in Christ alone. Amen. That's why he said, I want them to be cut off. Anybody shows up and starts preaching some other way of salvation, God cut them off. Amen. So they don't lead anyone to hell. But they're false teaching. It's a big deal. That's harsh. Nobody likes that kind of talk, but we need that. We need that. Stay on guard against heresy. Now, I want to say as a side note, we ought to be careful with the use of the word heresy. The word heresy properly means a choice. It's mostly translated in the Bible sect, when we read about the sect of the Pharisees or the sect of the Sadducees. What does that mean? It means they're divided. It means they've separated themselves from others. But later in Scripture, the word is translated heresy because it applies to this. It applies to a teaching that would separate you from the truth of God. Buddy, with me? So it can be used in a lot of different ways, but heresy properly is that idea that something is being taught that separates you from the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And we ought to be on guard for that. Watch out for that. I want you to notice there's almost always a who that will hinder you. In verse 7 it says, ye did run well, who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, when Paul went through there preaching and they went back confirming the churches, everybody was doing good. They were standing in the grace of God and they were following Jesus and his grace. But then others came in and led them away from that, back under the law and the bondage that's under the law. They were putting back on that yoke of the law to try to justify themselves. And he says, who did hinder you? And can I say that if you've been walking with Jesus and following Jesus and somehow you start to go astray many times, if not most of the time, or maybe all of the time, someone is leading you astray. Amen. Who did hinder you? You need to guard your influences, and more now today than ever before. Almost everyone in this room, almost everyone, the exception of a few of you, watch YouTube videos. And a lot of you watch sermons and preaching and listen to podcasts and things like that. The teaching from Scripture is more available today than ever before. And in many ways, that's a tremendous blessing. But it's also a tremendous danger. I've seen too many people start listening to certain teachers who are false teachers, and they are led astray. Amen. Be careful who you listen to. Amen. Be careful who you listen to. As a matter of fact, I don't think you should trust anyone, least of all me. I think you should always verify with the Scriptures. Amen? Amen. Amen? Some of you look really concerned that I just said that. Like, why shouldn't we trust you, Pastor? Listen, I'm not going to intentionally lead you astray. I want to follow Jesus so you can follow me as I follow him. But shocker, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. You know, I always get tickled. Somebody will say, hey, I read this. Now, I don't agree with everything they say. There's always that qualification. And I always think the same thing. I don't agree with everything I say. Right? I mean, any of you have been studying your Bible for more than a couple of years, there's things that you probably believed early on that you don't believe anymore. Amen. And the more you study your Bible, there's some things that are going to change. Amen. And here's what's beautiful about it. The more I study my Bible, the things like abandoning the law and trusting in Christ alone, the truths of grace, become more and more evident and stronger in my faith. And some of those issues that I used to think were so important become less and less important as Christ becomes more and more important. And listen, that's a beautiful thing. When it comes more about knowing him and following him. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter 2, 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Side note for some of you who might be wrestling with some of these things, Jesus paid the price for those who will be destroyed too. See, that's right there in the Word. Verse 2 says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. There were false teachers then. There would be false teachers in Peter's day. There will be false teachers. There have been and will be all the way through the church age. So be on guard. And he gives us some details, by the way. They'll make merchandise of you. False teachers are greedy of filthy lucre. Every time, mark it down. It's right there. It's right there. They are greedy of filthy lucre. They will make merchandise of you, and they bring in damnable heresies. What's that mean? It means teaching that will separate you from the faith that is in Christ. So stay on guard against heresy. How do you know whether it's true or not? Search the scriptures to see whether they're true or not. Talk to other brothers and sisters that you trust. Search it out. Try it out. Don't just take it. But here's the problem. When it comes to Bible study, sometimes we're lazy. And it's easier to just take whatever you hear, figure, well, Brother Isaac, he studied it, so he probably knows, so I'll just take it. Don't do that. Don't be lazy. Study your Bibles. You know that word study? When it says study to show thyself approved unto God, that word study actually means to be diligent. That's what the word itself means, diligence. Like, be diligent in the Word of God. So study. All right. Verses 13 through 15, we're going to wrap up this part of the chapter this morning. Back to our text, Galatians 5:13. So stand fast in liberty, stay on guard against heresy, and number three, serve in love because of liberty. Serve in love because of liberty. Verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Amen. Serve in love because of liberty. Amen. You've been called unto liberty. Don't use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, which is something we can do. But liberty should cause us to love. Liberty should cause us to love. Freedom from the law isn't freedom to sin. Freedom from the law is not freedom from sin, freedom to sin. It's freedom to serve. It's freedom to love. And the whole law is fulfilled in loving your neighbor as yourself, which you can do now by faith through grace in the Spirit. Let me draw your attention back to verse 6. Galatians 5 and verse 6. He says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. What's that mean? Faith that works by love? It's the same thing that James teaches us. That if you have genuine faith in God, it works. And if the faith that you have doesn't produce love works done in love, then there's something wrong with your faith. Amen. Everybody see that? Faith without works is dead, being alone. If you have genuine faith in God, that means the Spirit of God lives inside of you. That means the love of Christ has been shed abroad in your hearts, and you will, by His Spirit and by His love, you will serve others with love. Work, it works by love because it's faith in Christ, because it makes you a new creature. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 Peter 2:15 says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So we have been given liberty, and we had to use that liberty to love and serve other people. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And so here we have this liberty that God's given us, and we are free from the law And all things may be lawful for us, but not everything is expedient to us, because we can't think about ourselves, we have to think about others. And where we may have liberty, in Corinthians he's dealing with the idol's meat, but that principle applies in our lives. We want to be careful that the liberty we have, we use it to glorify God, to help other people, to serve others, not to serve ourselves, because we could do things in our liberty that aren't wrong, but it could cause someone else to stumble. Amen. We've got to have a heart for others, always looking out for others. He says, it's all summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor, I won't steal from him. If I love my neighbor, I won't murder him. I won't hate him. If I love my neighbor, I won't want what he has. I won't covet his things. So it's all summed up in loving him. And then look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This phrase, this wording that Paul uses here is, just to be honest, it's really gross. This is the description of animals eating each other. So that's real pretty. I mean, have you ever seen a video of animals attacking and eating each other? When I was growing up, it was called Noah. Just remember that? Animal Kingdom. Anybody? I mean, that was the coolest stuff in the world. Kidding me? Those lions come in and jump on. I loved that stuff when I was a kid. It was awesome. Seen my buddy the other day was showing me pictures. He killed a deer this year and said it took off. He was honest. He was hunting, I think, with his son-in-law, and his son-in-law shot a deer and it dropped right where it was. He shot his deer and it ran off. Tracked it down, couldn't find it till the next morning, and there was not much left. Where he couldn't find it, the coyotes had. Right? This is the imagery that Paul's putting in our minds of animals devouring one another. That's gross. Where little boys might appreciate that, most of the ladies in the room are like, ooh. Don't you think there's something to that? Amen. When he uses that imagery to describe us biting and devouring each other. Like, this is the language that he uses, an animal eating another animal. He says, be careful, because if you don't love and serve one another in love, he said you can bite and devour, you can gossip, you can backbite, and you can actually consume each other. God help us to love each other. To not gossip and backbite. But to love and serve and encourage each other. Amen. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. I get it. The closer we get together, the harder it is to get along sometimes. Right? I don't know that in my life I've ever been more angry with somebody than I was my sister when we were growing up. Anybody else experience this? Anybody have siblings and try to kill each other? Hello? I mean, I know in my own heart, there were times in my life as a young man that if I had the capability, I would have killed my sister. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you the truth. And I know by the gleam in her eye that there were times that it was only barely restrained that my sister did not kill me. And that's weird, right? Because I love my sister. And I'm telling you, this is the honest truth, that in any second, at one second when I wanted to kill her, if someone else had have tried to hurt my sister, I would have died defending her. Isn't that weird? It's messed up. And I know that sometimes the closer we get, the harder it is to get along. Because we have different personalities, and we have different opinions, and we have all those different things that we have to kind of bring together. But we do that in the Spirit of God and the love of Christ. Amen. And that takes care of all the differences that we might have, so that we can love each other. Because he says, be careful, if you don't serve each other in love, then you will consume each other. We'll consume each other. It means literally what it says, to devour each other, to cause one another to cease to exist. God help us to love like we should. Can our musicians come? While they're coming, stand fast in liberty. Trust in Christ only. Trust in Christ fully. Trust in Christ continually. Stay on guard against heresy. There's always going to be false teachers trying to lead you away from the truth of the gospel. If you're saved by grace through faith without any measure of works, you're saved by grace through faith without any measure of works. Not by keeping the law. And that will never change. Amen. Serve others in love because of liberty. Use the liberty you have in Christ to love others, serve them. True faith always works in love. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. Listen to each other. Help each other. Let's stand together.